Shabbos Perek Beis Mishnah Zion 2:7. Shlosha Devarim Tzarch Adam Lomar Besoch Beiso Erev Shabbos Im Chashecha. There are three things that a person is required to say in his home on Friday afternoon, Erev Shabbos Im Chashecha, as it's close to getting dark. The Mefarshim emphasize that he should say it in his home calmly. Some even say that the reason why it says in his home is meaning that it could be, as opposed to his wife or to his family, is that these instructions to be heard only by the members of his home, in his home, meaning he's not screaming like a raving lunatic. So no lunatics allowed. You're supposed to say this calmly, but you got to make sure, as the man of the house, to be responsible and make sure it's done right. And the three things you have to say are, Isartem, have you tithed the food properly? Because food has to be tithed in Eretz Yisrael, and if food is not tithed before Shabbos, it's not allowed to be tithed on Shabbos, because it's a din derabban, it's a shvus. Because it looks like tikkun mana, like you're fixing something, and you can't fix things on Shabbos because of the malach of makba patish. So therefore, you have to tithe your food before Shabbos. Second, you have to say eruvtem. Are the eruvin in order? Now, this really refers to two different eruvin, says the Bar Tanura. One eruv we're concerned about is the eruv tchumin. That is to say, a person is allowed to adjust his makom shvisa, the locus of his Shabbos life. By putting some food in a particular place, if not in his home, and a person is only allowed to walk 2,000 amos beyond the city limits that are surrounding his makom shvisa. So therefore, you might have to adjust your makom shvisa if you have to get from point A to point B on Shabbos. Therefore, the question is, have you made sure that you put the food where it needs to be put to make sure that the Erev is ready for moving around on Shabbos? The other kind of Erev we're talking about here is called the Erev Chatzeros. Erev Chatzeros is... It allows, if you have two contiguous Rishuyos HaYachid, two domains that are technically each Rishuyos HaYachid, they're private domains, meaning they have mechitzas around them, but they have different ownership or even joint ownership in the middle. So, you know, for example, if you have two apartments, and let's say if you can imagine that between the apartments, let's say there's a corridor that's a shared corridor. That's like a equivalent of a chatzer. So really, the whole apartment building is inside one building. It's got walls, mechitzas, rishus yachid. You should have no problem with the raisa carrying from my apartment to your apartment at all. But the problem is, Chazal were concerned that people, if they start carrying from their home to another home or to a shared lobby and chatzer, etc., a shared facility, so then over time, things could get out of hand and people ultimately end up carrying from private domains to public domains. And therefore, they want you to be mindful of what's happening, and therefore you set up an Eruv, which is, and you put food, dafka, actually bread, in the case of Eruv Chatzeros, into one of the homes. Let's say I'll put it into my home, the box of matzah, and this matzah is for me and for you. And that being the case, we have been me'arev. Eruv means to combine, combine. So we're combining our domains, and as much as this Rosh Hashanah is connected for both of us, because we both have access to our food, the box of matzahs. And you have to set that up before Shabbos to allow you to carry on Shabbos between my house and your house, even though they're contiguous and both is a Rishus Yachid. So once you've set up those two things, Isartem and Eravtem, then you say, this is not a question, this is actually an imperative, Hadliku es haner, light the candles. These are instructions to make sure the candles are lit before Shabbos, because again, as we discussed at the beginning of the parak here, you have a mitzvah of either Kavod and or Onik Shabbos to have candles burning, and therefore you have to make sure they're done and lit before Shabbos, since of course, on Shabbos, even from Banish Mashos, once the sun is set, you can't light candles because that's a malacha. Now, the Mishnah continues, Safek Chashecha, Safek Ein Chashecha. If it's not certain yet, it's a Safek, it's a doubt, whether or not Shabbos has begun. So, Chashecha, nightfall, I'll translate nightfall. Nightfall occurs when three medium-sized stars come out. There's a period prior to that for about 13 and a half minutes called Ben Hashmashos, which is an intermediate stage between day and night, between the days, and we're strict during that Ben Hashmashos period for both the strictures of the previous day and the subsequent day. So if we're in that zone, the Ben Hashmashos zone, where it's not certainly yet night, it's sort of like that intermediate stage, so then certain things are forbidden and other things are permitted. What's forbidden? Pretty much everything. You can't do malacha d'oraisa and you can't do malacha d'rabbanan, a shvus, during Ben Hashmashos. We're familiar with that. Of course, for us, second the sun dips below the horizon, we treat that as Shabbos entirely and do no more malacha, whatever, even d'rabbanans. The Bar Tanura here speaks out, not quite like the sheets that we're accustomed to, that Benesh Mashrit doesn't begin until the second star comes out, meaning the sun dipping below the horizon. At first is still blaring day. It's only once the one star even showing still is daytime. It's when you have two medium-sized stars that Benesh Mashrit occur, says the Bartanura. In any case, the point is here that once Benesh Mashrit begins, Ein ma'asrin esa vada, you can no longer tithe your produce. Vada means produce that's certainly untithed, in contrast to demai, which we'll discuss in a second. The ein matbilin esa kelim, you no longer can immerse your utensils in the mikvah. This would be either A, to rid them of tuma, if they became tame, however they become tame, which would be a concern if you were particular about eating your food b'tahara, in a state of purity. There's no actual requirements, ostensibly, to eat peros, even peros Eretz Yisrael, according to most, in tahara. So the tuma issue, the fact that you're kelim or tummy, is not a problem necessarily, unless you're particular to eat b'tahara, as many people were. The chaverim ate even their chulin b'tahara, their regular food, so you have to put your fork in the mikvah, if it became tummy. The other reason why you'd be tovel is the one that we're more accustomed to. Nowadays, we don't have a base mikdash, people aren't eating their chulin b'tahara, we're all tummy anyways, and therefore we're not concerned about putting forks in the mikvah for the sake of tumah and tahara, but we do immerse our utensils, like a fork, in the mikvah if it is now being owned by a Jew for the first time, or to be more precise, if it had previously been owned by a non-Jew and hadn't been immersed in the mikvah, because it's a mitzvah to dedicate, inaugurate, consecrate your utensils for use in a Jewish home. And that being the case, if you buy a fork from a non-Jew, you have to first put in a mikvah, what we call tevilas kelim, and then after that you could use it. So the reason why you cannot do that on Shabbos is because it looks like you're fixing the fork, like tikkun mana, like I said before, regarding the tithing of the foods. And even though it's only banish mashas, and it's only a derabanan of the prohibition of toiveling the kelim on Shabbos, still it's forbidden because we don't even do shvuyos, we don't shvusim, we don't even do derabanans during banish mashas. Vein madlikin es aneros, and also you can't light candles. This is, of course, because lighting candles is a derais, not a derabanan. The bartender says, meaning even if you have a non-Jew handy, you may not ask the non-Jew, as we discussed before with Amir Lakum, you can't ask a non-Jew to light your candles for you on Shabbos, even during Banish Mashas, when it's only a question if it's Shabbos or not. However, aval ma'asrin es ha-damai, you are allowed to tithe your demai. Now, demai is produce you purchased from an Am Ha'aretz. The story here is that when you buy from an Am Ha'aretz during Bayis Sheni time, they ascertained that while most Am Ha'aretz, most of them did tithe properly, a significant minority did not. And therefore, the rabbis required you to sort of retithe, at least partially retithe, the produce you purchased from Am Ha'aretz, make sure it's done properly. That includes getting the Trumas Meiser out and also redeeming Meiser Sheni is appropriate. The point is, that's only really midoraisa. You wouldn't have to tithe it because the majority of Amei Arts do tithe already. But here we're saying that since it's anyways only rabbinic in nature, your obligation to tithe it, and the rabbis didn't make that requirement to be applicable during Banish Mashas, the requirement to tithe demai, because anyways it just looks like you're fixing something and it's probably fixed anyways, and we want you to have food on Shabbos, and therefore we're lenient, and therefore we say during Banish Mashas you are yes allowed to tithe your demai. And the Mishnah continues, Uma Arvin, a second thing a person may do during Banish Mashas is set up an Eruv. Here again we are talking about the Eruv Chatzeros and not the Eruv Tchumen. Eruv Chatzeros, again, to connect the Rishio Siyacha together, so since that's really a derabanan that's, you know, quite far from this original Doraisa of taking from Rishus Yechat Rishus Rabban, the Chazal were lenient and allowed you to do the set up the Erev Chatzeros during Banish Mashas. And finally, V'tomnen Esachamen, one may insulate warm, like say a pot, warm food on Banish Mashas, Erev Shabbos. The fourth parak will discuss Hatmana, insulation of warm food at length. So here I'm going to keep it a little brief. The point here is that there are restrictions on insulating food on Shabbos because we're concerned that one would use remets, like coals, embers, hot embers, hot coals for insulation, and then you might come to stoke those coals and light them on fire again, and that'll be a malacha d'oraisa of mavir. And that being the case, there's restrictions. Here the Mishnah says whatever the restrictions are, they don't apply on Bein HaShemashos. The reason why is because since the normal assumption is the food that's ready on Friday night, Bein HaShemashos, is already warm, you just cooked it, so there's no reason to be concerned. People will restoke coals to heat it up because it was warm already. And therefore we're lenient and we say that Hatmana, insulation is permitted, all types. Whatever's be permitted before Shabbos would be permitted during Bein HaShemashos as well. Even though those things would not be allowed on Shabbos proper, we're lenient because the containers are already assumed to be warm.